Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 31. It's just a jumping off point, but that's where we'll get started this morning. Now, I preached on the vision for Fundamental Baptist Church last Sunday morning. This morning, I want to preach just a little niche of it, and I don't preach it often, and maybe I don't preach it enough. But it's a big doctrine, and I want you to get a hold of it, because God wants to bless you. And when I enter into the presence of God, I feel so inadequate. When my heart is right with God, and I stand up to preach, man, there's no room for me. I can't do it. I enter into the presence of God, and if somehow I can bring you along with myself again into the presence of God this morning, God is going to do great things in our church and in your families. And I just trust that somehow. I told the teenagers, I told all of the young people at Maplewood last Thursday, 1968, I got saved. 1976, I surrendered to him. And I have no regrets. None. 40 years here at Fundamental Baptist Church, and I'm telling you, no regrets. Oh, you know, there are regrets when I fail. But I mean, as far as what God has for my life, no regrets. And when God leads me into this big doctrine that I'm going to preach this morning, if you'll get a hold of it as a child of God, there'll be no regrets. And you're going to see what I'm going to be speaking on here in just a moment. And we don't have time to read what I wanted to read in the 31st Psalm. But let me read just verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. This is big. You will never outlove God. You will never outgive God. You will never outthink God. Never. And I want to preach a Bible doctrine this morning that is huge. Stand with me and let me pray one more time. I don't have time to read Psalm 31. I planned on it, but I said some things I didn't plan on saying this morning already. So I got to get over to Matthew in chapter 6. And you know, the Bible and Bible preaching, especially when the preacher studies during the week, gets filled up, the Holy Spirit takes control. It's like trying to get a drink out of a fire hydrant on Sunday morning. Can't do it. My fear is I'm too repetitive because, if something I preached a week ago, or something I don't remember, what I can't differentiate what I preached last Sunday from what God showed me during the week. That's my big problem. And I can't share everything. And right now, I'm rattling. Let's do that. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. Lord, would you help us as a church family this morning to somehow you would arrest our attention and your Holy Spirit would take scripture and drive home the truths of God. Some of us, we're so full of ourselves and our own ideas, we don't listen to God the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that wouldn't happen this morning. But instead, we'd be drawn to thee in humility. And God, challenge your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. This is big doctrine. And here's what happens. Young Christians and older Christians alike, because of the way we're made up, self-preservation, let's call it that, this doctrine of giving, because we get greedy, or because, you know, God blesses a little bit and we get greedy. This is mine, don't you touch it. Or maybe we're insecure and we think we need this, whatever it is that God has blessed us with, in order to have peace. And that is a lie right from the bowels of hell. We do not need things, and we do not need money. We need God. Take Matthew, go to Matthew in chapter 6. Matthew and chapter 6. We're going to jump all over this morning. I know you are probably familiar with a lot in Matthew and chapter 6. This is big doctrine. Let me describe what a New Testament Christian is with a verb. Can I do that? A New Testament Christian, what it is, definition, with a verb. After, you know, born again, all of that, but with a verb. A giver. A giver. That's who our Savior is. He's the ultimate giver. He gave his all and went to the cross. He didn't have to do that. And then he provides for us every step of the way. A verb that describes New Testament Christianity is giving. Now, there are a lot of people who have no idea what that is. You know, whatever it is, it's kind of like they've just gotten away from it and don't understand. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, especially here on Sunday morning here at Fundamental Baptist Church. I looked at the year-end reports. We started in a little tin tabernacle, go before that, back to a pool hall, back before that, back to a farmhouse out in Fiber. Just a handful of people that got together and decided to obey God no matter what the cost. And last year, in the year 2020, in our offering plates, $606,000 plus. This last year. Canaan land was a little over $30,000. Maplewood, I think it was $97,000. In rough figures, that is $733,000 in this ministry, not including Baptist Pioneer Mission, which is all of that, pretty close to that, all by itself. Because churches send monies to missionaries from all over the place, the channel through that, which is a part of this ministry. And the fact is, sometimes people look, and I know it, they come on late on the scene, they look at all that we got and all that God has done and say, man, aren't they lucky? No, sir. We are blessed. And God promises to bless faithful people and a faithful church. I did the figures real roughly because I'm not a mathematician. We have given over the years hundreds of thousands of dollars to missionaries all over the world. As a matter of fact, it is over $2.25 million since 1980. Fundamental Baptist Church has given. That's no surprise to me that God has blessed this church. You couple with that the gospel, evangelism, Bible preaching, and God just said, I'm going to bless that kind of church. And nobody could have done it all by themselves. I don't have that kind of money. You don't have that kind of money. If you do, I want to talk to you right after the service, all right? But together, being faithful. You see, if you're giving your tithe, no matter how small it is, you're going to get an equal share in the rewards at the Bema Seat. Do you understand that? If you're faithful, God will bless, and he'll bless, and he will bless. Matthew chapter 6 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember what I said? It just happens all too often where Christians get tripped up because God starts to bless them and they have a little wherewithal and they get their nose in the air, or they're insecure and they want, this is mine. I need this. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So I need this. And they get all tripped up in that. That's why Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the gates of heaven. Because riches are deceitful. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I wouldn't be afraid to do it. Everybody that's a tither, are you better off than you were 2 years ago? God is going to bless. Everybody that is not a tither, how's it going? You're having trouble making ends meet, aren't you? Because you're not faithful to God. And God doesn't need your money. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. He just gives to us a command along the way that the tithe belongs to him. And Leviticus says, and it is holy unto the Lord. It is his. That's why the prophet Malachi, when preaching to the people, they said, well, wherein have we robbed you? We've never robbed. And Malachi says, you've robbed God in tithes. You give him not your best, but you give him what's left over. And that's why your crops are dying in the field. And that's why, you know, you're putting your money in a bag with holes in it, because you think you're outsmarting God. Remember what I told you? You cannot outthink God. You cannot outlove God. And you cannot outgive God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, Matthew 6 is loaded, isn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Hey, look at the flowers. They don't worry. Look at the birds of the air. They do their job, and God takes care of them. That's all he requires of his people. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 18, 19, and 23. Unfortunately, I've met people along the way, well, I can't afford to tithe. And can I tell you, as your loving pastor, your humble, loving, good-looking pastor, you're a fool. And you are. You know, maybe your daddy needs to put you over his knee and spank you. By the way, you got a heavenly father. You think you can't tithe, and you're telling God you can't tithe? When he tells you you can tithe, and he tells you, I will bless you, why don't you trust me? Oh, no, I can't do it, I can't do it. Man, that is so foolish. And you'll never give enough money, let me go to the other end of the spectrum, to impress God. Never. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. That's corruptible. Riches are corruptible. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Look at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever and ever. You cannot buy God's grace. You cannot buy God's favor. I don't have to give what you give. You don't have to give what I give. All he requires is that we be found faithful. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. The tithe, Leviticus, is holy unto the Lord. And if we take it, we're taking it from God. And it is no longer holy. So I'm telling you here this morning, if you're not born again, only the blood of Jesus Christ will wash away your sin. By the way, every once in a while, and it hasn't happened in a while, I'm not going to go to that church anymore. All you do is ask for money. And I'm telling you what, how often do I ask for money? Man, how many times have you heard me ask for money in the last 12 months? It's just that here's a deal. This will shake you right down to your piggy bank. We haven't passed a plate, an offering plate, in this church since last March. And I like it that way. We got those offering boxes in the back like Joash had in the temple. You're going to be faithful? You're going to be faithful. Just put it in the box, all right, on the way in or the way out. And the church isn't in it. The church of Jesus Christ is not in it for the money. And God, by the way, if that is your heart, you hear it right from the preacher. And I'm echoing just what God, the principles that God teaches in the Word of God. If you think all we want is your money, keep it. Keep it. We don't need it. God doesn't need it. You say, preacher, man, you got a burr under your saddle. No, I'm not. I'm trying to tell you, here's how inadequate I am. I'm trying to show you how good God is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Man, I got all kinds of points here and all kinds of notes. You got to believe that's true because it's about money. And I got messages going back to the eons concerning that. But worship, our giving is part of our worship. Psalm 96 in verse 8. Let's go back there. 96 Psalm in verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. It's part of our worship. Malachi 3:10, I already quoted that. Well, let's do that right now. We won't go there later. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes 10%, into the storehouse, that's the local church, Old Testament temple, New Testament local church, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, a lot of churches are struggling during this COVID thing. I've got to tell you, we have meat in the storehouse. We're not rich. There's things we got to do. There's things we're going to have to do this coming summer. There's more building that's got to go on. There's more outreach that has to take place. So we're not being foolish with anything, but I'm just telling you, we got as much money or more. Dodie will tell you, there are a lot of times we were like one offering ahead. One offering ahead for years, but we never stopped being faithful to God. We never stopped honoring him. And this COVID thing, when so many denominational churches, and I talked to some of those preachers even this last week, and they're struggling, they're wondering, they're scratching their heads. Man, what are we going to do when headquarters runs out of money? Their problem is their headquarters is not heaven. Their headquarters is some organization here on this earth. Because they got nothing coming in. And I was able to tell them, man, listen, I just looked at it all together. We got $97,000 in the bank. Now that goes boom like that, because we got building projects going on all the time. And that's including the extra in all of our, it's designated monies. But I mean, man, God is good. We got more in our checking account. I mean, it's been that way all the whole COVID time. It's been unbelievable. It's like there's a God in heaven that's watching over his people. Right, wouldn't you want to be part of that? Don't you want to be involved in that? I've got some challenges for you, but let me read the 10th verse here, Malachi chapter 3. Oh, I closed my Bible. I moved already. Malachi chapter 3. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. We're small, so we think that we can see dollars and cents in a savings account or in a checking account or lack thereof. So we do a little bit of arithmetic so we can kind of keep our own little ledger. And God says, test me. Just try me. Just see if I'm not the good God of heaven that takes care of his people. Man, I would challenge you that way. I look at it like this as an individual household. Before we had five children at home, Debbie and I and the five kids. And now we've gone down to just Debbie and I. But, you know, the monies would be there and every week or every other week, however it was I got paid at that stage of my life. And it was like a little business. Okay, 10%, that's God's right here, right off the top, right there. Okay, and we'd write the check out, you know, and then we'd go from there. And if there wasn't money left over for groceries, so be it. God got the first fruits. And God has always blessed. And I'll testify that we tithe about 23-24%. I haven't figured it out lately, actually. But, you know, we do more than the 10% because we think God's bigger than that. And God's always met our needs. And I don't want to overspeak this because I don't want to cut and pay. But it's like every week money comes in from other places, don't they, Deb? And it's just like, man, didn't see that coming. Oh, how many can testify to that? Over and over again. Oh, didn't see that coming. You know the people put their hands up? I'm not saying it was all the people that are, but those people I can guarantee you are tithers. God is meeting their needs. Let's go back to another passage of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Let me look at the clock on the wall. We're good yet. 1 Corinthians 16. New Testament tithing. Years ago, a man asked me, he said, how many people at Fundamental Baptist Church are tithers? And I heard this from another preacher years before that, an old man who's in heaven now. And I said, all of them. And the guy said, what? He said, man, that's the kind of church I'd like to pastor. Everybody tithes. I said, yes, sir. Some of them bring the tithe, and some of them God goes and collects. Everybody tithes. You know what? You got a hospital bill. You got a flat tire. Not too many people get those anymore. Car breaks down, God always gets his tithe. You're not going to get ahead. Yeah, you're not. So first of all, who's to give? When are they to give? Verse 1 of chapter 16, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia. This is the Apostle Paul said, here's what the orders are. Here's what the commands were. You know what it is. Even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, what day of the week is that? Sunday. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Proportionately. The only proportion mentioned in the word of God is the tithe. It's the 10%. That there be no gatherings when I come. Lay in store in the storehouse, in the local church. You bring the tithes in. You tithe in kind. We don't have time to look at it. If you've got 10 chickens, one belongs to God. If you've got 24 eggs, how many is that? 2.4 eggs belong to God. Whether it's, that's the problem when you start going on a rant right there. it's holy. It's under the Lord. You bring it. And I know the Givelify thing is going on right now. And some of them, I guess, apparently, it automatically is taken out of your check. And maybe it'll happen on a Thursday. God bless you. But, you know, you're still tithing. First day of the week, they come, they laid in store. And I've talked to people that are part-time Bible students that you cannot convince otherwise because they're selfish and they don't want to tithe. Oh, I don't believe we're supposed to tithe. I think that is not the law. Abraham tithed 430 years before the law was ever given by Moses. That's just what God taught his people. It's really that simple. And it's easy, and it is the starting point. We're to be faithful. Matthew chapter 6, don't have time to turn there. Verse 3, we're to do it. Don't, you know, let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So it's a private kind of thing. It's not a show. It's just honoring God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. I'm the first to say we're under grace. And Abraham was before the law, and Abraham was a tither. You know where he learned that from? His dad. And his grandpa, all the way back to Adam. It was God's idea. I want you to grow, Adam. I want you to grow in faith and grace. It's going to let you have part of this great big deal called the earth. I'm going to put things into your hands, and you just bring 10% of it back to me. And you worship me when you do. And your faith will be growing, because you're going to find out I can give more than you can. That I'm going to take care of you. That I'm going to meet your need. Hey, you know, dark days may be ahead. Some of you are probably thinking, well, I've got to have a month worth of food or, you know, a pantry or, you set some things aside. I'm not saying that's unwise. That's probably wise. You'll never set aside enough money. You see, I got silver. And where will you spend that silver? And what will happen to it when other people find out you got it? You know what? You better trust God. You better honor him. He's always met his people's needs, no matter what the situation. But be a giver. You heard the story about the old farmer. Walked up to the preacher that had a building program going on. Said, preacher, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it to the church. You heard that story? That's like, preacher, if I win the lotto, you pray this week, man, I'm going to give half of the church. And the preacher said, is that fact? He said, yes, sir, I'd give $500,000 to the church. I'd write out the check right now. I'd bring the cold cash in right now. He said, what if you had $100,000? Preacher, if I had $100,000, I'd give half of it to the church. He said, what if you had 2 hogs? He said, preacher, that ain't fair. You know I got 2 hogs. And there's the deal. That's where the rubber meets the road. We like to talk big, but God is going to use those that are faithful. Don't you be counting on Publishers Clearinghouse. I told my wife, we're watching. I'm looking for that white van with the balloons. That's my retirement program. And I'll be able, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you if that happens. It didn't happen last week, just so you know, all right? So in the meantime, you better trust God. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. It's got to be from the heart. That's part of your worship. I love to tithe. I love to contribute. But I look forward to it. Every man as he according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Greek word is the same word we get the word hilarious from. That's the right kind of worship. Where you're looking forward to it. Man, it's almost Sunday. Whoo, I get the tithe. God bless me this week, and I'm going to tithe because I know he's going to bless me again, and it's going to happen again. I know it is. It's actually kind of fun. And you come, and you bring the tithe into the storehouse. Look at Exodus chapter 35. In closing, Exodus and chapter 35. Somebody needs to write a book on giving because there's so much to it. Oh, wait a minute. God already has. Amen. Exodus chapter 35. In verse 5, time to build. Moses is the spiritual leader. He doesn't have the money it's going to take or the building materials. He says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart. Again, keep it. If you think you got to have it, you keep it. And you take it to a casket with you. I mean, you just keep it. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. Just to skip ahead a chapter, chapter 36 and verse 5. Verse 4 says, and all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. So all the leaders that are working in the building, they come to they set everything down. They say, everything, let's just shut down. Let's just shut down. And they come and they have an appointment with Moses, and they meet with Moses. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work. Can you imagine the piles of gold? And the piles of silver and the piles of brass. Man, this gold's getting in the way. What are we going to do? So they go to Moses and say, listen, stop the people from giving. Just stop them because we have more than we need. In fact, it's piling up. We thought it was a good idea to have more than we needed first, but it's kind of like manna. It isn't going to do us any good. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. I'd like to have to do that one time in my life. No more. Don't worry. The safe isn't big enough. The bank called, Central Savings Bank. They can't hold the money anymore. No more. Just kind of hold it back. Man, is that a challenge? Hilarious giving. So here I come to the end of the message. I can't tell you that God will make you independently wealthy. I can't tell you that God will make you a millionaire in US dollars. I can tell you God will make you a rich man or a rich woman. And you'll spend the rest of your life trying to outgive the God that you cannot outgive and cannot outlive. That's our God. So here's the challenge from the pastor this morning for anybody here that's a member of Fundamental Baptist Church. As a people of God, I want to challenge you this morning to be faithful in your giving. And I want to challenge you, those of you that will take this challenge, to increase your tithe. Try 15%. Try 20%. I'm telling you, I'm not going to do it, but if I were to ask people to raise their hands that are tithers and money comes in from every direction, you would be shocked. I know it because they share it with me quite a bit. And if you're back there and all you can do is make ends meet, and you'll never do it, by the way, you'll never do it. And what happens if and when the economy falls out and your faith is in dollars and cents? Who are you going to run to then? But there's a God in heaven. The same God that said to Adam, Adam, you bring back the 10%. And Adam, you'll never outgive me. I just want to know you're with me. I want to increase your faith. I think it was J.C. Penney that said, I would not have been able to tithe 10% or not have been able to tithe my first million had I not tithed my first dollar. God is looking for faithful men and women. I know men, I think it was John Deere. I don't know him personally. Obviously, he's in heaven now, but I've read about him. The man named Kraft with Kraft Cheese, Sam Walton. We go on and on and on. We could name all kinds of big business that you think is big business in America now, but you know where it started? A faithful Christian man. I'm trying to think of who it was that said, he ended his life tithing 90% instead of the 10%. R.G. Letourneau. Yep. And you can't outgive God. You can't. Take that to heart.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.